present, all the composers present, myself, and staff. No citizens. So we'll go for minutes for correction approval. May 19th, 2020. Does anybody have any issues?
No issues.
We'll take those as presented.
Nope.
We'll move to new business PW2020-35 list station SCADA upgrades.
All right, so there's a nice memo in the pack from Eric, who's on vacation for this meeting. So Brad and I and Aaron are going to do our best to answer whatever questions you have, and then anything that's unanswered, we can try to get answered before City Council. This is a budgeted item. In general, it is for improvements to our each one of our sewer lift stations that will allow us to remotely monitor our sewer lift stations, so we can tell if things are backing up or if equipment is down, rather than getting a notice and then having to incur overtime and have people be sent in every time that there is an issue. There are 5 lift stations that need the upgrades, and they're anywhere from $12,000 to $15,000 per lift station for a grand total of $66,000. This is a sole source, I believe, because it is our existing SCADA system that we are recommending. So that's why it requires a supermajority approval. And that's all I had.
Any questions on that?
Just a quick question. So we're going sole source on this. Does anybody else provide the SCADA or the control panel information that we use right now?
I don't believe so. I did not ask Eric that exact question, but my understanding is that it's both to maintain some semblance of equivalency between our water system and our sewer system. And this feature or this system is it's pretty highly specialized.
That's what I thought with the SCADA, but I wasn't sure if there are different dealers or vendors that have the same thing. We're under budget, so I'm not concerned with that. I just want to make sure that if there was a way to save a little money, we could. But if it is for the convenience of having the continuity between upgrades, we did, what, 2 of these already?
I believe so, yeah. I will ask Eric, and I will put that in an email back to everybody as soon as
okay.
I get an answer.
No problem.
You have one question?
Yep.
So, has staff, put together priorities on purchases and stuff, or, budget items, since we don't know what the budget would be, and
yep.
if we come 6 months from now, we say we got to start cutting somewhere. I just wanted to kind of make sure that this was higher up on his priority list than would be.
Yeah, it is. And this is, an automated system, so hopefully over the long run it'll save us, if not money, aggravation and or man hours and sending people out to the field. So this would be pretty high on his list just because it improves operations pretty significantly.
How much was that?
Dollar amount?
Yeah, 26.
66. 66. It's for 5 different lift stations.
But I mean, we save overtime by being able to monitor if we get there.
Yes.
Any other questions, Chris or Ken?
No.
All right, we can move that on now. That brings us to PW2020-36, Rain Tree Village, Units 1 and Lot 4, Grant of Easement. All
right, there's a memo in the packet noting that Lennar requested an additional easement. This was as a result of an ALTA survey that they performed when they purchased the remaining lots. The existing sidewalk slightly extends over the existing sidewalk easement. So this is just an administrative cleanup. And we've had a couple of reviews back and forth, and the easement document is accepted. I'd be happy to address any questions anybody may have.
Ken or Chris, you good?
Happens.
Okay. Yep. We can move that.
I'm good.
We'll go to PW2020-37, well number 8 and 9, water treatment plant, citation exchange vessels, interior coating repairs.
All Right, this may look familiar. You saw this in the recent city council packet in which the city council approved repairs to vessels 1 and 2. At that time, we somewhat suspected we'd run into the same issues in 3 and 4. Sure enough, the work at 1 and 2 were complete. The contractor moved into working in the vessels 3 and 4, and the same situation has arisen. So it's recommended that the coatings be repaired, similar to what was done for 1 and 2. So the quote remains the same. It's $28,000 to repair the 2. That was the same as it was for 1 and 2. And we're recommending moving forward with the additional repairs. We did add a couple of comments in there about the current budget. So the construction budget was originally $165,000. We received really good bids originally for the overall project, and then we noted the current vessel repairs. So we are slightly over, but not extremely over the original budget amount.
Any questions, Ken?
Nope, I'm good.
Any questions, Chris?
No, I mean, we've got to do it. It's only $6,000 over what we originally anticipated to get the other two done, so.
All right. Okay, we'll move that on. Number 4, PW 2020-38, Risk and Resilience Assessments and Emergency Response Planning, Water Utilities Professional Services Engineering Agreement.
I'm going to let Brad give a nice description of what the study is actually going to show and do, but the actual agenda item is for an engineering contract to allow EEI to complete the study on our behalf. It is mandated by the federal government. And our deadlines based on our population are, I believe, June and December of next year. It is a budgeted item, and the price of it, I believe, was just shy of $60,000 to complete generally an assessment of our water system and the risks, both physical and remote, of operating the water system. So, Brad, can you give a little overview of the actual study?
All right, did you hit the highlights, which is that it's a mandated requirement by the feds. There are dates in which the city needs to comply based on its population. There's a couple documents within the packet that kind of get to the nuts and bolts of what's included, but basically you're looking and assessing your water system in determining the vulnerabilities, threats, and consequences from potential hazards. So there's a number of steps in which you are to go through and work with various folks within the city to come up with the plan or come up with the issues and then develop an emergency response plan accordingly, basically 6 months after you go through the risk and resilience process. So there is a very detailed scope within our engineering agreement that spells out exactly what we will be doing. But there's a series of meetings, series of steps, analysis, back and forth to ultimately come up with a plan. So we've actually completed 3 of these for some larger communities. So we were able to work with City of Elgin, Joliet, and Rockford. Those all hit March deadlines, so we've worked with them. And then we've also put together actually some seminars and some workshops for folks. So fortunately, it's required. It's mandated. There is no forgiveness on schedules. That question has been asked, you know, of the IEPA, and the response back is no, you must complete it by the deadline. So you know, certainly we can get into more detail if you'd like, but there's a lot of detail in the scope, and we can go through that if the committee desires.
Ken, you okay with it? Any questions?
The only question is just more from my knowledge. When does something like this become, like, under the normal engineering agreement that we have versus a separate, like, project that's farmed out or, you know, in other words, what you guys are going to do?
Sure, there's kind of two trains of thought, and the contract is drafted such that we pay a like a flat minimum amount for a maximum number of hours. And so theoretically, you know, anything that can be done within our normal course of business could be charged under that contract. In this case, over a number of years, we've never had a year where we've had a lack of hours needed for our normal operations. And so something like this, which I don't have the number off the top of my head, but I know it's in the appendix of the contract, you know, dozens or hundreds of hours of work, wouldn't fit within our normal contract. So in concept, the contract was supposed to be, anything that we could do with our previously in-house staff, and this is now, 12 years ago at this point, should be covered under the normal contract. And so, if it was close to going over, we would say, it's the contract, can you dishonor it and complete the work? But this is not something that our in-house staff would have been able to complete, 12 years ago.
Okay.
Chris, any questions?
Yeah, I think Mark hit it. This is 366 hours. This is 9 weeks worth of work. It's a good deal of work. The only thing no offense, Brad, is this the type of thing that we have the ability to solicit for proposals, or under this type of work, do we have to, is it something that we just have to kind of go with the engineer as it is on that fee, or I know we get into the whole thing on professional services. Can we ask for bids on it?
Yeah, it's a supplemental contract, so you always can ask for bids. I would say out of all of the supplemental contracts that we would consider to do sole source versus, bidding out, this is probably one of them that I would say don't bid it out, just because we want somebody that's familiar with our water system and has done these types of reports, obviously, multiple times over. So in this case, I think that there's probably a little bit of an efficiency built into the fact that EEI knows who we are and knows what we're doing and knows our water system, so that they can produce the report maybe quicker than somebody who's going to come in and have to learn all that. But for things like road construction contracts or other design type engineering, those would be the things that I would say, if for whatever reason we decide to start bidding things out more frequently, then I would say go in that direction and not necessarily in this direction.
Sounds good. So I'm okay with that. I don't have an issue with Brad doing this. I mean, they do know our system. I would assume that this goes back to our item we talked about with the new SCADA systems, that gets incorporated into their review and analysis of this, because this is being done over the next year. So I would assume that all of those upgrades are incorporated into their assessment.
Brad, can you comment on that? I would assume there'd be a component of overlap with that, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, so the SCADA, I believe, is for the lift station, so on the wastewater side, so this is strictly on the water side.
Strictly on water, okay. Do we have anything coming down the road on wastewater, or is it just strictly water?
As far as this type of analysis, I believe there is something that's coming down soon, yes.
Okay.
But I guess just to expand a little bit, so SCADA on the water side would be part of the analysis.
You said this is budgeted, Bart?
It is, yes.
Okay.
All right, we can move that on then. That brings us to PW 2020-39 MPDES annual report.
All right, so every June you see this type of a summary come in front of you. We're required to do this as part of our MPDES permit that we have through the IEPA. So it's just a summary report that's in the packet, and once approved by council, this will be submitted to the IEPA. I'd be happy to address any questions anybody may have.
Can you have any? Chris?
No comments.
Move that along. Does no old business? Ken, do you have any additional business?
No.
Chris, you have any additional business?
I do not.
Hey, neither do I.
Just one clarification. All of the agenda items that we talked about moving forward should be on the June 23rd City Council agenda, if that's okay with everybody?
Yes.
Okay.
If we can get them on consent, that'd even be better.
I'll put in a word. We'll see what happens.
Hey, I am okay if we put them on consent.
Can you okay with that? All right. Anything else? I think we can adjourn.
Sounds good. Right. Good night.
Thank you.